On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague continues.
I think I'm becoming lactose intolerant. Is that possible?
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
Dirt and Sprague.
Eggs, breakfast, and go whoop ass.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. No Sprager still. He's on vacation. I don't know where they're at now. Anaheim, San Diego.
Memory serves, they are making their way back to San Diego today.
They call it the whales. Anyways, he will be back. I don't know if he's back Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not sure. We didn't really communicate that. But he'll be back at some point next week. The band will be back together.
Yes.
And we will be full steam ahead and then for it's, football season.
Yeah, then it's full practices every day.
Then we're not gone until the kiddo comes popping out. Then we'll take a couple days off for that. But until then, we will all... Actually, he might have a day off for the Hood Coast. Anyways, I don't know. We don't communicate that stuff as well as we probably should, but that's an off-the-air conversation. The preseason kicked into high gear last night, and man, oh man, was it delightful. I watch a lot of it. Before I get to that, I did see a story come out this morning, and it made me laugh out loud. And this, we've seen this kind of viral trend in training camp, and my guy was associated with this, and everybody killed him for it. And I get why, don't get
your
me
guy,
wrong.
Which guy? Your guy.
My guy, Justin Herbert. My guy, Justin Herbert. There was a viral video of him. This offseason, you remember, or not this offseason, but this training camp. Do you remember what it was last week?
Oh, was that
with
Madison?
Madison Beer.
Yeah.
Stroking his hair.
Good for him.
Who doesn't love having their hair stroked, right?
Exactly.
Wife never strokes my hair. Come on.
Well, she's preoccupied at the moment.
She's got bigger fish to fry, dude. They're still in the honeymoon phase, Madison Beer and Justin Herbert. So I guess there's been others of these. They didn't pop into my algorithm or my bubble. There was one of Joe Burrow that went viral that Bengal fans were talking about. There's pretty Joe Burrow out there sitting with his girlfriend at practice. Makes me think of our old Mike Leach open with a fat little girlfriend under the tree.
Exactly.
Just an all-time moment.
Sandwich.
Jackson Dart had one with his girlfriend at Giants training camp. So this has become kind of a thing that has popped up from time to time.
Whatever.
Whatever, right? You don't make much of it. I don't really care.
What the kids are doing.
The funny part of the story is the front office sports article that came out this morning saying that these are not a coincidence. This is a coordinated strategy by the National Football League that they are essentially asking and filming these moments and putting them on social media. Why? Because they want more female fans. Now, I don't know who Jackson Dart's dating, and I don't know who Joe Burrow's dating. Maybe the Youngs know those names and know those people. I don't listen to Madison Beer's music, but I know who she is, obviously. She's a pop star. Like, I know she's a musician.
She ventures a little more, like,
is it not pop? Oh, is
no.
it more jazz? Really?
Yeah.
Do I need to check out Madison Beer?
I think you would be surprised.
Okay.
Like, thinking she's, you know, just another Pop-Tart sort of thing.
Looks very smart. That's all I know about her.
It has a little bit more jazz R&B influence.
Okay.
I think you would appreciate it more than some of the other...
Maybe I'll dive in this weekend.
There you go.
But what does she have? She has a large female following, does she not?
She does.
And you see a picture of her or a video of her stroking the hair on social media, all of a sudden, the girl... Oh, who's this? The Chargers? Justin Herbert? Now we're going to... They want the Taylor Swift boost that they've got the last couple of years.
This would indicate to me that Travis Kelce has told them this is his last year because the Taylor Swift thing's going away after this year. I'm going to read between the lines,
we need
to get the crossover effect now. Right now.
I just love
because Swifty's going to go away and
fantastic.
That's it. Now, what they want to do, if they truly want to capitalize, I thought about this. If they want to set an all-time record, I can't remember if I said this on the air or not. If you want to set an all-time record for uniform sales, merchandise, Travis Kelce should have changed his name legally to Swift and changed his number to 13. And if you had a Swift 13 jersey with the Chiefs, how many billions of those would you sell?
Is there any, look, you're not wrong. From a financial standpoint, like, you're not
wrong. If the NFL's trying to manipulate its marketing to this point where we want you to have little TikTok videos with your sweeties that are very popular amongst the, you know.
Get the ladies watching the NFL now. Look at that Herbert, huh?
Here
Look at
you
that
go.
Guy. Look at that guy out there.
He's our guardian of victory.
Let's just see 13 in a Swift jersey, you know, lining up.
You're not wrong from a financial standpoint. Can I ask, on the sliding scale of being emasculated, where does being asked to change your last name rank?
I think when you're already Travis Kelce and you can lean into it, it's not... I think that's a one-off situation.
You're not wrong there. You're not wrong. That is a very unique situation. Had the wife asked you to do that, what would your reaction have been?
Well, she's actually having the other conversation because I didn't care.
Right. It didn't matter to you.
And she still has, because she started acting and doing stuff in the theater world that used her maiden name.
That's totally fair. Yeah. And that's different when it's a second marriage, too. And you're,
Why did I change my name? I was like,
you didn't need to. Go back if you want to. Call up the office. You can
now she just doesn't want to go through the paperwork.
You snip, snap it if you need to.
Whatever.
Imagine wife number one asks you to do that when you get married.
Yeah.
Right.
I would have been like, I don't need you to change your name. We can keep our names.
If you want to keep your name separate.
Equal 50-50, even Steven. I have been fine with that.
I have a female cousin who is there are two daughters in the family. So yeah. The name.
But if I would have been, you know, Mr. Jackson for a day.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Jason Jackson works.
Jason Jackson actually does fly. It's not a bad one. I have two girl cousins. And so the name, when you have two girls, the name's.
Yeah, you got to start thinking.
The name's going away, right? Like that could be the end of the lineage line.
It could.
Right? Depending. Yeah. And when the oldest one got married, the dad, her dad, my uncle.
Yeah.
Made a request going into the wedding to ask the newly soon-to-be husband to change his last name, and that did not go over well.
No, it shouldn't come
in a shocking development.
No.
It was him saying, "I'm losing my lineage line. I only have two girls.
That's a step over the line.
I have no siblings, so it's ending with me.
Spouse to spouse, that's a negotiation."
He wanted that to happen.
Outside influence, absolutely not.
Oh, geez.
As you can imagine, yeah, did not go well. And that name change did not end up taking place. So, you know.
I would think that would backfire. And right. You've caused more problems for your daughter.
Made it even worse than you needed to in the first place.
Yeah.
Just a little side tangent I had there. I did enjoy, like, of course, the NFL is behind this because it's the NFL and their evil empire. And now they're manipulating your algorithms, ladies. Don't fall for it, okay? If you don't want to watch football, don't watch football.
I thought you were going to tell me the new generation of WAGs was going to, they've got, you know, their own little sisterhood or something.
They probably. Probably do
trying to put together, but
they
no.
Probably do. Do we get a WAGs tour? Do we get a Madison Beer, Taylor Swift tour at some point?
I don't know.
The WAG
I don't
tour?
Know if they've been introduced. I don't know. I don't know if
the rivals, AFC West rivals.
Yeah,
you know they're butting heads right now. Anyways, I digress. Let's get to some of the action from last night, shall we? Some notable things that happened last night. There's not in any sort of particular order. It was fun to see a lot of debuts. Fernando Mendoza came in, which, by the way, if you not have not had a chance to go read, he did an athletic sit-down piece with our wonderful friend Mike Silver, who we've had on the show many times. Love talking to Mike Silver.
Yeah, we were trying to hunt him down, but it was too last minute. But we'll try to get him as the season gets close.
Some of the quotes in this story, oh my God.
I know.
I don't know if there's ever been
a
player.
Is he the closest thing to Tebow since Tebow?
Yeah.
I know he's not over the top in the way Tebow was.
Right.
With certain aspects of his life. But in terms.
He's not writing John 3:16 on his eye black.
No.
Yeah, he's not going that route. He's some of the quotes in this,
but
dude,
in terms of who's drinking milk and cookies before they go to bed,
it's
Mendoza.
He had a quote in here saying, quote, I'm talking about going to the strip in Vegas. He's talking about how he's avoiding it. He's trying to stay away from it. Said, quote, I've been there once or twice, but I haven't really experienced the strip. It's like a boogeyman. A lot of people talk about the strip like you don't want to go there. It's like when you're a kid, you're trick or treating and there's a haunted house. You're not going to go over there. That is a legitimate quote from an NFL quarterback talking about the Las Vegas Strip. Quote, Las Vegas is one of the entertainment capitals of the world, but I have a job to do, and it's football. I don't have anybody that's really, I don't have anybody that really relies on me, if that makes sense, so I can just be psycho about football. And then every once in a while, on an off day or night, I can go out to a movie, watch Spider-Man or The Odyssey or something. In Vegas, There is a lot to do, and sometimes it can be seen as activities that wouldn't be supporting a healthy football lifestyle, but there are different things that you can go see and do that aren't degenerative activities, per se. There are some great restaurants, but I'm probably not going to be playing blackjack till late into the night. Which is just, look, if I'm a fan of an NFL team, I want quote from my quarterback.
Like, if somebody's going to go to Vegas and you're like, oh my, is he going to get succumbed to all...
Johnny Manziel first round pick to Vegas? You're going to die in 5 years.
Mendoza. Yes, it's football first. I can't wait, though, for the randoms. Because at some point, yeah, he'll go... There'll be a concert or musical act that he'll want to go see or
see
go to
dorky
the Sphere
ass up on
or
stage.
Something.
Yeah, why not?
And, you know, and all of Vegas is going to try to get him to come, you know, right. to their restaurant or.
Right.
But yeah, it's probably more likely into like a movie theater, like one of the big giant movie theaters, something like that.
Yes. The bigger issue for the Raiders last night, by the way, Mendoza, 10 of 16, 97 yards. He looked good.
He wasn't perfect.
No.
But yeah.
He looked good.
How do you feel about your boy Malik Benson catching his passes?
Malik Benson was the highlight. One of the highlights of the night was a Mendoza, kind of a layered throw over a linebacker that Mendoza made early in the game.
Is that a conflict of interest for you? Dude that ruined your title dreams?
No, I move on from stuff after college. Like, okay. I don't have any ill will towards Penix anymore. I want Penix to succeed. I'm not one of those guys that like carries the grudges into the NFL that if you played against my team,
unless
I
there
hate
was
you forever.
Something individual that person did against you.
I guess, yeah. Or if you play for a team that I root against or don't like in the NFL, then I'll keep rooting against you and not liking you. But, like, what do I care about? The Raiders have been irrelevant my entire life. I don't have any ill will towards the Falcons. Why would I? They've done anything.
No.
So, I just, you know, no offense, Harley. But there is I'm not rooting against those guys. It was fun, and that's been one of the talking points out of Vegas camp is how good Malik Benson has looked for them. They're raving about him.
Yeah.
The bigger issue would have been that the three combined quarterbacks for Arizona in this game went 26 of 30 for 212 yards and 3 touchdowns. Gardner Minshew was 14 of 16.
Minshew magic.
Jacoby Brissett was their starter. He was 5 of 5 and a touchdown. They scored an easy touchdown on the opening drive of the game.
Opening drive, thanks. I got my work.
And then Keaton Slovis, who we've talked to back in Pac-12 Media Day country many, many moons ago, ended up transferring away from USC. He was 7 of 9. And so I would say that's probably the bigger issue for Vegas right now.
Yeah, that defense.
It is preseason game number one, so what are we doing here? But still fun to
talk about. Crosby didn't play?
Max Crosby did not play. No, he did not. He was one of the starters that was not in the lineup.
Those quarterbacks had time to throw.
But one of the other debuts that we saw, like some of the stuff's interesting just on how in terms of the way teams handle it with young guys. Like one of the other notable things from last night that I kind of circled when watching and flipping around and stuff was in that game. And it was the fact that, dude, Arizona ran Jeremiah Love. He had 14 touches in his first preseason game. Now, I saw a report on this that basically their staff at Arizona, even though it's new, has felt like they have seen a lack of preseason work affecting guys, and especially young players early in their careers, where when you're practicing with shells, it just isn't quite, you're not getting taken to the ground. It's not quite the same thing.
Well, so, you're not in the environment.
No.
You're not.
The adrenaline isn't pumping the same. Like, you got to kind of get used to it. You get your feet wet a little bit. And so they've taken that approach to preseason, which I don't, you know, whatever, each their own. He did end up getting banged up last night in the game, but it sounds like he's going to be okay. I did a couple takeaways on him were one, God, he looks like Adrian Peterson when you watch him run. Like just the style in which he runs, the way that his legs move and how like he runs kind of mean and it's kind of a high knees run. I don't know. Aesthetically, it looked exactly like Adrian Peterson to me last night. Also of his 11 carries, because I think he had 11 carries and 3 catches, 14 total touches in the game. He had one or two nice highlight runs where you're like, oop, there it is. There's a spin move. He hurdled a guy on one moment. Looked really good. And about 7 of the 11 carries he had, just literally handoff and 3 guys standing right in front of you. And you try your best to like spin, turn. Like they are going to load the ever-loving hell out of the box against Arizona this year.
Yep.
And dare Jacoby Brissett or Gardner Minshew, whoever it is, or what's his nuts, Carson Beck, to go beat you. Like, you're going to find it. Or no, Carson Beck's not in there. Yeah, he is in there, right? Yeah, he didn't play last night. Did he get banged up in the Hall of Fame game? Because he didn't play last night. I didn't even think about that.
I don't know.
They didn't use him last night. Interesting. Anyways, they're going to load the box against him. He was getting stuffed at the line of scrimmage on a lot of his carries. But look, once he got in the open field, you saw the style in which he ran and the way he played. Like, it was.
No, they got to establish him. Then they got to go play action to Trey McBride and then work off of it from there to then Harrison.
Only hope he got, right?
Over the top.
But I'm hoping he succeeds. I'm rooting for him. He's a lot of fun to watch. Reminds me of Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. Your boy Noah Whittington making his debut.
Noah Whittington was awesome last night. Like, there was a couple of notable guys. Like, Betcher had a nice highlight tackle for the Colts in their game. So that was kind of fun. Noah Whittington for Houston came in last night. He's one of those guys, honestly, I kind of forgot where he went until I'm flipping around last night, and I'm like, oh, there's a highlight. That's right. He's in Houston. Love Noah Whittington. He was a great duck for a long time. He had 13 carries, 40 yards. Not a great yard per carry average, but still not the worst. He did have one catch, but it was for minus 4 yards. So he got some decent run in the game last night. DJ Uiagalelei played for the Chargers. He was 6 of 9 for 120 yards and a TD. On the 49er-Titan game, that was kind of the late one on the West Coast last night. The last one going, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, that was the last one.
It's so a couple angles on this. One notable I had was that Deshaun Stribling, the young wide receiver for San Francisco that they picked up second round. Was he a second round pick, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
8 targets, 7 catches, 62 yards. And so he had a couple of nice flash plays. Curtis Rourke, the Indiana quarterback, was this guy for the majority of the time that he was in the game. And that's like, they're going to need another wide receiver.
You desperately need
another body.
Yep.
And he had a couple of really nice catches, one along the sideline that was a pretty good throw. So if you're a 49er fan, maybe there's something there that you could kind of dig your teeth into. The other side of that coin is, and again, it's week one, so who the hell knows? Their uniforms look fantastic. Quarterback, not so much. The Titans took the field, and it was their first time seeing in the flesh their throwback jerseys.
Throwbacks to the Houston Oilers days.
Which the color scheme is much better. It's a lighter blue and a red.
Cam Ward, not Warren Moon. Warren number one.
Cam Ward, boy, oh boy, did he have a rough night last night. He did not look sharp. The Niners essentially didn't play any starters on defense. It felt like the entire game. A lot of the guys are already banged up to begin with. Stop me if you've heard that before. And he went 5 of 12 for 57 yards and really, really struggled. He had a couple of moments where... You know, when he was coming out of college, one of the biggest issues I had with him was his holding on to the football and not.
Yep.
There's a bit of that Shador Sanders vibe where you're just like.
Could not connect with Carnell Tate.
Take a quick play. Just get rid of the ball. Like, be on rhythm, be on tempo. And he had a number of plays where you're just kind of holding, slipping further back, and then you think you can outrun an NFL defensive lineman. And breaking news, NFL defensive linemen are really fast, and you can't do it. And so that was not. If you're a Titans fan, that's not the start that you wanted to see. Although, your uniforms? Oh, buddy, do those look good. They are fantastic.
I know.
So those are a couple of tidbits that I got from the opening night of preseason football. We will get to, there's a couple other games going on tonight and going
today.
Into the weekends. We got three more today, so we'll dive into a little bit of that because I do want to continue on the NFL train. I also have a fun story of a guy who became quite the star over the summer, and now you know when your face reaches the level of cocaine... I think you know you've reached a different level of stardom, and I will explain that. We'll get to that. A little bit more on NFL preseason and a hilarious story that connects to the World Cup. Next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got some more NFL nuggies to get to. It's great to have it on TV last night, man. Don't take anything too seriously. It's fun to react to because we've all been jonesing for football. I think the way that I would describe the way I feel about preseason is being good means literally nothing, but being bad is a bit of a red flag for me.
That's
not that it means you will suck, not that it means you're done, but there's a bit of like you're playing against third string guys and you can't. Now, granted, there are some third string guys out there with you too, right? It's not
that
a full...
will lead me to the one universal takeaway I think we can all agree on after last night's play.
Is it that we have a new quarterback controversy?
No, we in don't Pittsburgh? Have a new there's no controversy about this quarterback.
Oh, which one?
He's done with his current team.
Oh, who is it?
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, it was, look. My favorite highlight of his last night, it's one of those if you didn't see watch bits and pieces of the game.
If you go kind of look at some numbers or whatever,
Boxer,
you're like, wait,
no,
what?
It's not that bad. No. Dude, he had a play that summed up his entire career. It's like the scene from Rudy. This play summed up the entire year career. He had a play where he's standing in the pocket. He has a wide receiver. You can literally see from the TV camera.
Yeah.
A wide receiver standing about 6 or 7 yards from the line of scrimmage on the hash, nobody around him, just arms waving.
Yeah.
As the play progresses, he's again in the pocket. The running back leaks out into the flat, the right flat, and he's got two checkdowns screaming at him to his face, like, throw me the ball. We'll pick up 8 yards. It's 2nd and 2. That's how you play quarterback. What does Anthony Richardson do? I'm AR-15, baby. He tucks that thing down. He takes off running, picks up about 20 yards on a scramble because he's a hell of an athlete. And on his way down to the ground, what did he do? He fumbled the football. And it was like, I don't know. If somebody had a tweet last night. It was like, I don't know if there's ever been a better encapsulation of who he is as a quarterback than here are two wide open checkdowns. Dump it. There's 10 yards. Nah, I'm going to take off and run. And damn it, I fumbled. I think that's a pretty – he is so done there. Him and
that's
J.J. McCarthy.
That's the only 100% surefire thing. Now, he might start the season on the roster, but that's simply an issue with his contract.
Yeah, being a top five pick in the NFL draft.
The Colts have
to
figure out how to get rid of it, move it, whatever.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It was fun flipping around. The first game that was on the NFL Network was the Aaron Rodgers Bowl, Green Bay and Pittsburgh. And it was interesting. Like, I was watching Jordan Love, I believe, played a little bit. I turned it on a couple of minutes into the game. So I think he was scheduled to start. Let me double check because I missed the first handful of minutes. Yeah, he went 3 of 5. So he played that first series of the game, and then they moved on from there. Kyle McCord got a lot of the snaps for Green Bay. But the interesting part about it for me was on the other side of Pittsburgh, where they have taken quarterbacks in the last two NFL drafts.
Yeah, you got Will Howard
and
Drew Aller.
Last 2 years, right? Later round guys. But
at
like,
some point, Aaron Rodgers will actually retire.
Yes. Can he even stay healthy for an entire year?
He said, this is it.
This is the final year.
His wife gave him permission for one more year.
Sure.
We've never seen.
And this happened. Drew Aller comes into the game. Third down, they put him into the game. First series, I had it on.
Yeah.
Run on first down, nothing. Run on second down, nothing. And I remember thinking to myself, like, well, this is a great way to start your career. Now I'm in third and 10. Let's see what can happen.
Different from his career at Penn State.
Not really, and this is what happened.
He's got to block. He's got to build his confidence on that. Aller sings it over the middle. Has Region's going to turn on the speed. Hayden Region is on his way. Will he get caught? Turns it on extra. 10, 5, down to the 2-yard line.
So that was Drew Aller's first throw. It should be noted that was a 70. He had 153 yards on the game.
Yeah, so that was half of it.
That was half of it. And if you watch the play,
it was about a 5-yard throw.
He threw a slant, which, hey, okay. First down, picked up the first down. So
more credit
again,
to Wiegen, who was at Iowa.
That's the fun part about preseason for me of like.
It's like, oh, yeah, that guy.
I'm not a psycho with rounds 3 through 7 of the NFL draft. I just can't do it. Round 1, I watch. I love it. I soak up every second of it. Round 2, like, okay, where did they go? I still know those names.
Should that guy have gone in round 1?
And then you go 3 to 7, and you're just like, I don't.
Whatever. I got to move on to my weekend.
Wake me up when the season starts, and then I'll find out who's playing for who. I had totally forgotten that the Steelers picked him up, and he caught that ball, and I'm like, who's this little – oh, Wiegen. I remember him. We had to circle him on the scouting report. He's going to return a punt. But it was – you know, look, the stat lines were solid. Again, it doesn't mean you're going to be good, but it is at least an encouraging sign against backups on the other side. On the night, Drew Aller was 10 of 13, 153 yards and 2 TDs. Will Howard was 7 of 9 for 86 yards. So they were both very efficient. They didn't take sacks. Right. High completion percentage, like easy on-target throws.
As you would expect.
Curious to see where they go at that position.
With a head coach like Mike McCarthy, who comes at it from the offensive efficiency.
Right.
Let's do things simple, smart, quickly, effective, move the ball down the field.
Yeah, keep it easy, right? Keep it moving.
Right.
It would be really ironic, would it not, if they spent the last however many years of the Mike Tomlin era trying to figure out what
flailing
to do a quarterback
away at the quarterback position.
In the first year he steps down and you move on, you fall ass backwards into a starting
into
quarterback.
Into two of them
in like the fifth or sixth round. Like, again, that's not the case here yet, but it would be really funny if it was the case here. Drew Aller is an interesting guy because he was – Penn State quarterbacks just don't have a great reputation from an NFL standpoint.
That's not going to look good for James Franklin.
No, it will not.
I
also think that, you know, the crazier things have happened, right, than guys who kind of flail a little bit in college and end up being good in the NFL. Nobody saw Brock Purdy coming, and he's a borderline top 10 guy for some. I also feel like there is a level of I want to be, you know, respectful to him in terms of 2 years ago he had a pretty good year. It hit the side of the mountain last year, and it was not pretty. I also never felt like the offense that they ran at Penn State with, I think, Kotelnicki was their offensive coordinator. It just never really seemed to fit his style. It never really seemed to fit his game. And so you get a guy who's now learning behind Aaron Rodgers. We can all feel different ways about Mike McCarthy as a head coach. But he's clearly a good offensive mind. He's been good with quarterbacks in his career. That's always been his strength and his focal point. And getting to learn and develop for a year or two, like, that's not the worst thing that can happen to you. He certainly needs it. Remember, he had the surgery to end his year, what, 5 games or 6 games into the season last year? He went down with the injury and his season was over. So you're rehabbing and all that stuff. He looked comfortable. He looked smooth. He had a rushing touchdown in the game as well. He led 3 different touchdown drives on the night. And so A notable thing from night one of preseason was Will Howard, Will Howard played well as well, but Drew Aller coming out in his first game in a NFL uniform and looked pretty darn good for the Steelers. And so maybe if you're a Steeler fan, you got a little bit of hope out of that. One other note from last night that I do find interesting because they're a fascinating team for me. There is a lot of pressure. You go around the NFL, like there's pressure on everybody, right? Like I saw a clip from Dan Orlovsky yesterday saying Justin Herbert should be in the MVP conversation this year because that's a thought of a new, offense coordinator.
Should be in it. Let him do it.
Let's see how it goes.
Get him Mike McDaniel.
Right.
Can his big-time play receivers actually catch the ball when there's big plays to be made? Can we just let him do it?
Right. But clearly big expectations and a lot of pressure on him this year. This is kind of a...
On everybody. This is it. Barring, both tackles getting hurt again and, that sort of nonsense.
Yeah.
But if they have...
Say relatively
normal
healthy.
Health of an NFL team during the year, somebody's going down somewhere. It always happens. But as long as they don't get completely decimated at key positions, then let's go.
Yep. Big pressure. Also big pressure in Cincinnati this year.
Yeah.
They made a move for a defensive lineman.
Everybody needs to smoke that Joe Burrow.
Look, they have had more success in terms of going on postseason runs than the Chargers have had, but let's also not act like it's been smooth sailing for a number of years now. It's been a while since the Bengals have felt relevant in a playoff conversation. Their defense has been terrible, and their quarterback can't stay healthy. Head coach probably on the hot seat. You traded picks to go get a defensive lineman to improve that side of the ball. Yeah. It was interesting to me to turn on that game last night and see bits and pieces of it and realize how much they played a lot of their guys early in that game.
Joe Burrow was still taking sacks.
He took a sack. I don't know if he got hit any other times than that, but he did take one. It was mainly a coverage sack. He kind of fell down. It wasn't a big hit. He was smart. He understands what he's doing. But that to me reeks of a team who understands all right, we got to get out of the gate and get going here. Like this cannot be the same start that we've had the last couple of years. Remember, 2 years ago, they came into the season, and I remember it vividly because this is what survivor pools will do to you. They came into the year 2 years ago with all these big expectations. Yeah. In New England, the year that they won, two games that Drake May ended up starting as a rookie, with Jacoby Brissett beat them in Cincinnati. And I'll never forget it because it was a survivor pool that almost half of the pool took Cincinnati over New England in week one because New England was playing Brissett, and they had, I can't remember their damn coach's name, Gerard Mayo. And they beat Cincinnati in Cincinnati. The next week, they went to Kansas City and lost. The next week, they went to Washington and lost. They started 0-3. What do the numbers tell you on NFL teams who start 0-3? The chances of making the playoffs?
It's like 5% or something.
It's essentially non-existent, right? So last year, a little bit different. They beat Cleveland and beat Jacksonville. And then they went on a 4-game losing streak. Minnesota, Denver, Detroit, Green Bay all beat them. And you're 2-4. Your season is essentially over.
Their schedule is very manageable.
Yes,
I don't want to
say
it's easy.
Yes, it is.
But it is manageable in the first half.
You get Tampa at home to open, at Houston, at Pittsburgh, home against Jacksonville, at Miami. But then you get Tennessee, Atlanta, New Orleans is in there.
At home.
Cleveland's in there, Carolina.
The Commanders, the Saints, at the Browns. I mean, it's like I said, it's not a cakewalk necessarily.
No.
But you're not playing the Seahawks and the Rams and the Chiefs in
first 3 weeks of the season. It's somewhat manageable. So that was a notable takeaway for me is how much they were playing a lot of their key guys. And I think they understand we can't get off to a bad start this year. And that's usually what teams who were playing guys in the preseason understand we got to hit the ground running. We don't have a month ramp up period here. There's too much on the line for us this season. And so we're going to go get some snaps.
They desperately need their offensive line to be.
Yes.
Decent.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be great. You have great playmakers. Just be decent. Give him enough time.
Yeah. And be have a pulse defensively.
And
you'll be
okay. Defensively, when you get in position to get off the field, if you force third and long, get off the field.
Yeah, find a way to get after the quarterback. Tonight, you have three more games in the preseason. It continues.
It's all early. All at 4 o'clock.
All at the same time. Bucks and Jets is the one, if you have the NFL Network, that you can watch in New York.
That's the one I get?
That's the one you get. Yeah, I don't really know what the reasoning is there.
I think Daniels playing for the Commies?
I do not know the answer to that question.
Quite frankly, that's the one I'm most interested in. The Broncos aren't going to play Bo, and they're not going to play other dudes. And the Falcons, they are playing Tua, but that's because Penix isn't. I know what Tua is.
I don't need to see Tua.
I don't know what's going to happen. He's very accurate when he's there.
Right.
But the first time he gets laid out, then
right
there you go.
I don't think anybody
to see Penix looking healthy and seeing if he's figured some stuff.
He's not playing. I don't believe he's playing.
No, he's not playing in this one. He's hoping to play maybe in the third one.
He did have an all-time quote where he said his doctor told him the surgery went so well he'll never hurt his leg again, which I'm like, why would you put that out in the universe?
Well, what else is – I mean, you've only heard it, you know, every other year
I am rooting for college. Penix. I'm rooting for Penix. I don't need to see Tua play any more football.
The Dolphins, I want to see just how god-awful they might be.
Yeah, Malik Willis is –
because that might be a future bet of under. I think they have – do they have the lowest win total?
I believe so. They're one of the teams, yeah, for the year. I'm curious what Malik Willis looks like because you're going to get that tonight.
And then
for the first time,
the Commander, if Jaden Daniels at least plays a series, I want to see what things might look like.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anybody. It looks like Arizona. That's not ranking.
That would make
them.
Sense just because they're in such a difficult division. Like their over under for division wins is probably a half a game. They're not going to be favored in a division game, period.
Yeah, Miami is also 3.5. Miami and Arizona are both at 3.5.
3.5 is so tough.
That is so low.
3-14 is.
But
that's
so
what I want to see. Like I want to.
Jets are 5.5. Just scrolling through random
teams. That's
because
they're playing some other crappy teams, and they do have defensive talent. It's not like they're devoid of talent.
Right. So you got that going for you tonight.
Plus, they're probably going to fire their coach midway through the season, so you might get the interim coach bump at some point.
The Broncos game tonight, they're in Atlanta, reminded me of something that we missed earlier in the week that was announced that is going to be probably the most aesthetically pleasing game that we'll have all season long.
Ooh, the
NFL does a really good job of leaning into the throwbacks. They've done a fit, like just how many teams wear them, and they look good in different places.
Steve Bartkowski specials.
The Broncos have announced they are going to wear their throwbacks. I don't know how many times, but specifically for one game in the other team.
Oh, are we getting the Elway specials?
The Elway specials.
Nice.
The other team is doing the same thing, and the other team is the Seattle Seahawks. We are going to get an old AFC West 1990 Seattle uniform, 1990, or maybe 1980s at that point, Denver Broncos uniform.
All right, hang on, let me find out when the hell that game is.
Yeah, they both announced it jointly of like, we're doing this together, which is the way it always should be. If one side wears the throwbacks, the other side has to oblige and also wear the throwback uniforms.
When's
you can't just have it be. Can't just have it be one
That it's a prime. So it's a Thursday. Thursday
it's
night.
It's a national
October
television
15th.
Game. Yeah. Thursday night game. That's perfect. You don't want that buried at 1 o'clock on a Sunday.
No,
those jerseys need the spotlight, and they deserve the spotlight. Pretty solid throwback uniforms there. So that was in the notes for earlier this week. We didn't talk about it. I forgot about it. Broncos and Seahawks wearing throwback jerseys together for their game on Thursday night football. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That will wrap up your preseason takeies. I will watch more tonight. I will have the game on my television.
I know you're cooking up. We're cooking up a preseason.
We got our weekend parlay. We will spread the line coming up at 9:30.
And then there's a whole bunch of Saturday games.
A ton of Saturday games. We'll get to those to close out the show today because I do want to take a little quick peekaboo, including the Seahawks, who play tomorrow night. We have Brady Henderson on the show yesterday to talk about it. We will spread the line 503-864-6326. Look, people, it's the preseason. We got to get your sponsors. You got to start kind of cooking. You got to get the wheels turning. We got to be ready to go. We're a couple of weeks away from this all officially beginning, and the standings counting, and your sponsors being read every Friday. Let's all work out the kinks together. It's preseason for everybody. So we'll put together a preseason parlay. Get your sponsors in 503-864-6326. We will talk to Eric Gunderson coming up at the top of the hour, and his thoughts on the Blazers schedule release and what's going on between the city and the team. Just love talking to Gundy, so he's going to hop on in about 25, 30 minutes from now. But coming up next, a stat that blew my mind. Does it blow your mind, and where does this collapse rank all time, and where does it go from here? That is next, 105.1 FM The Fam.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Our buddy Eric Gunderson will join us coming up top of the hour. We'll talk Blazers schedule release with him.
Epa!
Whoa! And also what's going on between the city and the team. Where are we at on that negotiation? Great to see my man Patrick Harris back in the flesh. He is back in the building today. Be back on the firm. Just popped in to say hello. I did. I am remiss. I didn't bring up. Patrick and I bumped into each other in Sun River.
Oh.
We were trying to meet up one day, and then he was running late, and I was there, and then the kid was getting funky, so we're like, all right, we're out of here. And then we had another day where he said, I think we'll be down in the Sun River Village. And so we ended up going to dinner at Sun River Brewing.
There you
and
go.
We're sitting there, and I there see a guy walk into the John, and I'm like, dude.
If you're going to run into Patrick Harris somewhere,
yes.
A brew pub
is perfect, right?
Is the place to pick.
If you're looking for him.
I know he's in town. I know he's in the area.
Yeah.
Let me try a beer hall.
Yes, there he is.
And there's a good chance I will run into one Patrick Harris.
Got good beer there, man. That's a good spot right there.
He has gone old school with the...
he's got some old shades
with
on.
With the optics.
He's looking like he's straight out of 1987.
I think there's a picture of my dad with his Mike Brady perm.
That's the same
and
one.
And a mustache yeah. And similar glasses from like 1985.
We will spring the line. 503-864-6326. Get your fake sponsors in. Coming up at 9:27 this morning. It is preseason. We got to do it. And as I mentioned, Eric Gunderson at the top of the hour. I do, though. I saw a stat yesterday, and it kind of blew my mind, and I'm wondering if it blows everybody else's mind. This was a quote from, hopefully this is still a valid audio clip, by the way. So if it's not, I apologize. I don't know if it's been saved over. This was said by this player last year.
Like you said, we love you. Might as well go win the whole f-ing thing.
I don't know if there's been a player who's been on a higher of high to lower of low than what we've gone through in the last 12 months than Cal Raleigh of the Seattle Mariners.
I was trying to remember the year that Brady Anderson all of a sudden became a home run hitter with
57
for the Orioles.
Yes.
And then he stopped taking the B12 shots that were being offered in the O's locker clubhouse and dropped off. Now, to Cal's defense, I think he was far more injured early in the season with whatever was bugging him and eventually put him on the injured list than he was letting on. He is a guy that it is important for him to be out there every day and sometimes to his detriment. So,
yeah,
from that standpoint, but since he's come back, it hasn't picked up.
No.
And that's the concern.
It's not like he had time off to get healthy, and it's been
like a little
really
burst
bad.
Right when he came back.
Brady Anderson, by the way, had the 50 home run season in 1996 with Baltimore. 50 home runs, 110 RBIs, hit .297. It is hilarious to think about that in 1996. Do you know where he ended up in MVP voting? He had 50 home runs, 110 RBIs, and he hit .298.
Yeah.
He was ninth in MVP voting.
Yeah.
There were eight guys who had more MVP votes.
Well,
maybe everybody knew at the time.
There was some head scratching going on.
The next year, he was 18 home runs, 73 RBIs, and he had .288. So the home runs and the RBIs dropped off a cliff. But
the average was still there.
He was still a .300. I mean, the game was a little bit different back then, right? Anyway, so it's different. But Cal Raleigh famously hit 60 home runs last year.
Yes.
Most ever for a catcher, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
That was the argument of him being the MVP. An unbelievable season. Ended with
And he had an errorless, he did not commit an error,
it was
I
like
believe,
a platinum
during
glove.
The regular season
right.
catching.
60
and he
bumps.
Caught like 80% of the season. It's not like it was half and half DHing.
Do you know how many, we are at the midway point of August.
Yeah.
There is a month and a half left in the baseball season before the playoffs get here.
Yeah.
Which Mariners won yesterday, so admit, at least salvage that. Got one win, now you got a big one against Houston this weekend. You know how many hits he has this year?
He only has like 50.
51 hits.
Yeah.
He hit 60 home runs last season. Now, again, there is time left in the season. He has 51 hits currently.
I know.
And I just seeing those two numbers next to each other.
I know.
Absolutely blew my mind. So on the one point, you're not wrong that you want to be fair of like there was an injury early in the season.
How many games did he miss? I mean, he was out for at least a month, if not more.
He has played on this season a total of 88 games.
And we're at what, 120, 130?
What is the Mariners record? Let me pull it up here. Give me a second. With a month and a half to go, I imagine we're at about 130. So he's missed about 50 games. They have 57 and 65. So what's the math on that?
57 and 65, 132. We have
132.
30 so he, games left.
88 out of 132. So he's missed about 50 games, give or take.
Okay.
Just shy of that.
So he missed almost 2 months of the season.
Absolutely, he did. Since returning, I'll just use the month of August as an example. Like,
yeah,
I'll just give him the latest month.
This is where the alarm bell should be going.
Because he came back, he played the entire month of July, by the way. In the month of July, he hit .165 with 3 home runs. And how many strikeouts did he have? 32 Ks in 79 plate appearances. In the month of August, he has played a ton. He was in the lineup yesterday. He was 0-for-4 with 2 Ks. He is hitting .118 with 1 home run and 13 strikeouts and 34
And now, and now it's totally in his head. He had some comments.
Yes.
And he's not He's not shirking. He's a stand-up guy.
Yes.
Which is what you want in
a team
captain.
He's also a guy that we're all like, no matter how I feel about the Mariners, I love poking Mariner fans. That's a fun bit for me on the show. I also have, like, I want Kyle Raleigh to be good. He's hilarious.
Yes.
Big Dumper is his nickname. He had 60 bombs last year. It was a great story.
He's a guy that loves playing the game. He's everything that you would want. So this is strictly about trying to come up with some sort of reasonable explanation as to
what the hell
what
happened.
The hell happened and how do you get it back?
It just, you go back to, and I remember talking about it at the time, the World Baseball Classic. It was a very unique event for him for two reasons. One, he had just come off being second in MVP voting in the American League. He had 60 home runs, more home runs we'd ever seen from a catcher. And he wasn't the primary catcher for the Team USA World Baseball Classic team. And I remember that being like, wait a minute, what? He's a platinum glove guy and he had 60 bombs. What's going on there? And so I don't know if that got in his head. That's kind of a weird storyline. And then remember the Randy Arozarena thing. Like, his year started with him refusing to shake the hand of his teammate in the world. And I get it. You want to be competitive and you want to have that, like, you know, it reminded me of the Ted Lasso scene where Canada and Mexico were playing and Danny Rojas boots a ball to the face of the Zoran or Zorro or whatever they call the goalie. Like, that's a funny bit, but also, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm making more out of something and I'm just trying to, like, grapple for answers here. I have such a hard time wrapping my head around how a guy went from that to this. And injuries could be it early in the year. That's fine. The wear and tear of going all the way to the ALCS and catching the amount of innings, like, okay, I get all of that. Like, we're in the second half of the year now, man. This guy, since the start of July, has only hit four home runs. August is halfway done. So he's lost the power. The average has dipped to where it was already a weakness of his. Now it's almost detrimental. Like, his batting average on the year is .159, and he only has 12 home runs. That's tied for 129th in Major League Baseball. And I find it to be a fascinating question of where does it go from here. I don't know where Mariner fans are at on that. Maybe you're hoping a full off season and health, and you kind of get your mind right a little bit. Maybe some time off will be good for him, and he'll come back next year raking and hitting bombs again. You know he's not going to be a high average guy. That's not the ask of him.
No, you want him to hit .250, .260.
Yes, you got to be at least north of .230 at the bare minimum, man, if you're a big league baseball player like that. You just can't have that hole in your lineup because .159 is just... They just write it in. Three out of four nights, you're going 0-for-4 with 2 Ks.
Down, he's batting eighth.
I mean, that's just, how did we get here? It's just, it'll go down as one of the crazier fall-offs I've ever seen.
I mean, he's really good backstop. He's a great catcher.
Yes.
So, from that standpoint, you know, handling your pitching staff, and you've got a good pitching staff there, you don't want to upset that apple cart.
No.
So, they need him in the lineup. So, yeah, this is a – and you just –
you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
It's –
because you're worse defensively without him, but you have a guy who's going over – like, literally every other night, he's 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts.
On a team that's struggling
desperately needs. They won yesterday. What was the score of the game?
1-0.
1-0.
A solo home run.
That was it.
Yes.
That's the only way they can win right now is if you get the random game where your pitching staff is just dominant and you scratch across a run and you find a way to win. It just – it's just a fascinating story to me, and I don't know where it goes from here. I'm certainly
their season is this week, and they have 3 games against Houston in Houston. They need to sweep it, quite frankly, in order for anybody, because they come home and they get the Cubs and Phillies, who are both mashing.
They're playing good ball right now. Yeah, but I'm curious where Mariner fans are at on that. I don't know how if he was on my team, I would be. That would be quite the mind bleep, if you will. Of thinking I got this guy who's going to be the face of the franchise for years to come. Yeah. And it's one thing to have it, like Julio kind of did this early in his career where he bursts onto the scene and you're like, oh my God, he's the next Griffey. And then we put him on a little bit too high of a pedestal and he's a very good player.
He's a very good player.
He's not
all
quite
sorts of tools.
Not quite an MVP kind of guy.
I think we start to know what he is.
Yeah, and he's a guy you want on your team.
He starts slow and then he picks up.
Right, he's got a great smile. Like, I got no issues with Julio. He's a good player and he's been consistently kind of what he is his entire career to a certain extent with some lulls and some highs here or there, but he usually ends up being the same. To see this level of drop off, it's just I have a really hard time wrapping my head around it. And where it goes from here, Seattle could use his bat in the last 6 weeks of the season. That much I know. He hit 60 home runs last year, and so far on the season this year, in the middle of August, he has 51 hits. He's likely to top 60 hits, but if he somehow doesn't, which would be a horrendous end to his season, that will be the craziest stat maybe in the history of the sport. We have a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We will spread the line, have some fun with the preseason parlay. Get your fake sponsors in, 503-864-6326. Got to work out the kinks early in preseason football. We start, though, with our buddy Eric Gunderson, who's going to break down the Blazers' schedule for us and also his thoughts on the Blazers versus the city, the negotiations, and what did the finances actually look like. Eric Gunderson, Blazer Banter, kicks off the final hour next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.